Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Montauk area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
There is something that you probably have in your kitchen right now that came just a few miles away from McKeesport. In fact, it's estimated that 3 out of every 4 American households have this in their kitchen, and it is something made out of Pyrex glass, and it was probably made right down the river in Charleroi. Our guests this morning on Radio 81 WEDO are workers at the World Kitchen Plant in Charleroi, which makes Pyrex. If you're listening to this program on Friday, May 15th, then tomorrow, May 16th, they are going to have a 100th anniversary celebration for Pyrex down in Charleroi. That is going to get underway in the morning, and among the features of that celebration, going to be supposedly the world's largest Pyrex measuring cup, which I just found out this morning is not actually made out of Pyrex glass, so I'm a little bit disappointed. On the line with me right now is Reuben Brown. He is president of Local 53G of the United Steelworkers. Good morning, Reuben.
Good morning.
Also on the line right now is Tom Seal, who I understand is the incoming president of Local 53. Good morning, Tom. And Greg Spada, who is a worker at the World Kitchen plant there in Charleroi. And Greg, my understanding is several generations of your family have worked at that plant?
That's correct.
Very cool. Very cool. Let me back people up here just a little bit. They have been making glass in western Pennsylvania for generations, back to the 1800s. But I would think, and whoever wants to jump in on this question, I would think this has to be one of the last big production glass factories in western Pennsylvania. Reuben, do you know if that's true?
I believe it is true.
Certainly in the Mon Valley area.
Yes.
About how many guys are represented by Local 53, Reuben?
We have approximately 320 employees at the current time. We are still going through some hiring processes, trying to bring our numbers up, but currently we're 320 employees.
My understanding is actually that that plant is running at capacity. That I saw an article somewhere that is it called Snapware? Is that the product?
Yes.
So they brought the Snapware product back from China to the Charleroi plant, and things are really running full steam there.
Yes. Actually, it was Korea.
Oh, Korea.
Glass was made in Korea, and lids were made here in the United States, but they merged or bought out the Snapware product, and now they World Kitchen produces the glass for glass bottoms for the Snapware product.
How long have you been at the plant there, Reuben?
I've been here for 31 years.
And did you grow up in the Charleroi area?
My family moved here when I was 6.
Okay.
Philadelphia, and I grew up across the river in Manassas, Pennsylvania, for the last, I guess you could say, 50 years.
Tom, how long have you been at the plant?
31 years also, and born and raised in Monongahela.
I lived in Monongahela for a little while, right on West Main, in fact, across from McCrory's. And my understanding is that you and Reuben started about the same time, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And Greg, my understanding is how many generations of your family has worked there for the plant?
Four generations.
Four generations. How long have you yourself worked there?
I got a year ahead of those guys. They have 32 years.
That's fantastic. That's something. You know what? That's something that doesn't happen very much anymore. Let me ask you, Greg, since I've been talking to the other two guys a little bit, what do you do at the plant? What part of the plant are you in?
I'm in a forming end.
Okay.
I'm a line coordinator on the forming end. I have a crew of 4 guys. We run 2 machines, and we run 24/7. You know, on shifts.
Let me ask you a little bit about, and I don't want you to give any trade secrets away, but the process I don't think has changed too much. Tell people a little bit about how they make glass. I mean, they may have seen, like, in a museum or something, people blow a glass bottle or a vase or something, but that's a little different from production glass making. What happens down there in Charleroi?
Well, blowing glass is totally different than what we do. We use a pressing operation.
Okay.
We have a tank. The molten glass is in the tank, and it comes out at a certain temperature at which we cut it, and it drops into a mold, and it indexes, and we press it up and make that product, whatever the product is on that at that time for that job.
You make it sound real easy, but I think there's a lot of skill involved here. What's the raw material for the glass?
Sand.
Okay.
You'd have to ask Tom Stillmore about it.
Okay.
No, because he works in melting. He'd give you all the chemical formulas, but I don't think he can really.
I don't think we want to give those anyways. but it's sand, and it comes in, and how hot do they heat that sand up to?
Well, what's it in the tank, Tom? So over 2,000 degrees?
Yeah, 2,000, uh-huh.
2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, they heat that sand up, and that is, it's like molten lava.
Centigrade, yeah.
Oh, centigrade.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Also, that we recycle our glass, too. That's part of our process. We recycle most of our glass we recycle, so we actually use it right back into the formula again.
Tom, what part of the plant are you in?
Melting department.
Okay, so you would be the one who would know a little bit more about the melting. So so recycled glass comes in and sand comes in. These are the raw materials.
A few other raw materials. We mix them together and then we use a forklift to dump them into the conveyor system, which feeds into the furnace. And then after it feeds into the furnace, it's melted out into the melter. It comes out into the forming area, and then that's when they press it up.
We're talking with Tom Seal right now. Also on the line with us is Greg Spada and Reuben Brown. These three guys together have more than 90 years combined experience at the World Kitchen Plant, which was not always the World Kitchen Plant. Was formerly the Corning Plant in Charleroi. If you're listening to this on May 15th, tomorrow, Saturday, May 16th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., there's going to be a celebration down there in Charleroi at the corner of 5th and McCain, where they're going to have the world's largest measuring cup. Again, it's made out of plastic. I'm kind of disappointed, but I guess that would be hard to make that out of Pyrex. 3,000 cups, I think, this measuring cup holds, along with a pancake breakfast down there. That's at the corner of 5th and McCain. And you can go to pyrexware.com if you want to find out some more information about that. Do people, I'll ask you this, Tom, since you're in the melt shop, do people apprentice there? How does when someone comes in, they don't just have them working with 2,000 centigrade glass right away, right? So what's the training process like?
We have a very rigorous training program, and like I said, we might head to the apprenticeship program down the road, but right now we have a very rigorous training program.
Okay. And Reuben was saying that they are looking to hire right now.
Yes.
What's the sort of qualifications that people have to have?
Well, anyone who's interested in working at World Kitchen, they always do go to CareerLink in Denora, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And let them know that they're interested in working at World Kitchen. They'll fill an application. There is a small aptitude test that they will take. After the aptitude test, there's the interview process. There is a background check and a few other things that is done. And the right formula gets the person into the door to become a member of Local 53G, United Steelworkers, as well as an employee of World Kitchen.
And I'm assuming high school diploma or GED or two-year associate's degree, anything like that?
We are a fair and equal opportunity employer, and I believe that high school diploma, that is a plus, but if someone has a GED or someone who may not have completed school, but yet they can show on their aptitude test that they are learned and can comprehend their reading and gather material or information as they read, they have a good chance of being hired.
It's based on the ability to have the willingness to get up every day and come to work and do your job.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the importance of made in the USA, because there aren't that many products anymore that we can say that. about Made in the USA and certainly about Made right here in the Mon Valley, okay? You're listening to Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com. We'll be right back.
Tube City Online has reached a critical point in our history where we need to raise money from the public to continue providing information both online and on the radio. If you can help by making a donation, we would very much appreciate it. Go to our website, TubeCityOnline.com, and click the donate button. And thanks for supporting independent media in the Montauk area.
And we're back this morning on Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com. We're talking with workers from the World Kitchen Factory, what used to be the Corning Glass Factory in Shawler, where they are all members of United Steelworkers Local 53G. If you're listening to this on Friday morning, then tomorrow, Saturday, May 16th, down in Shawler, the corner of 5th and McCain, they are going to have a celebration celebrating 100 years of manufacturing Pyrex, which they believe 80 million households have at least one piece of Pyrex in their kitchen. I know my wife has more than one piece of Pyrex, that's for sure. That begins at 10 o'clock Saturday, May 16th, but they're going to have stuff for the next 100 days, actually, celebrating Pyrex. If you go to pyrexware.com and click on Pyrex 100, you can find out more information about that. I'll throw this question out to whoever wants to answer it. We have Reuben Brown, who is the current local union president, Tom Seal, who's the incoming president, and Greg Spada, who's a fourth-generation employee down there on the WEDO live line right now. Let me throw this question out to whoever wants to answer it. What does it mean to have a Made in the USA product like Pyrex?
That's very, very important. We take pride in American-made products and believe that most Americans have that same mindset today, especially union workers. We believe that our products are strong, our products are well put together, and we take pride in what we do in our country.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, and I don't mean to make a joke about this, but you guys make a product that's too good. Because I was reading one of the stories that I read of all the people who collect Pyrex, because the stuff just doesn't really wear out. You need to make a product that wears out quicker so that people will buy more of it or something.
That's what new products are for.
That's why they keep inventing new stuff made out of Pyrex.
We got to create new products because we don't want to keep, we like the old, but we want to create new products too.
And the trick about Pyrex, as I was reading some of the research material here, is that it was sort of discovered a little bit by accident. Does anybody there know a little bit more of that story? The guy was developing laboratory equipment, and then he brought something home for his wife. She needed a new casserole dish, and she found out that it didn't break if it was hot, and it didn't break if it was cold.
Correct. I don't recall 100% of it, but yes, she needed something to bake, so he brought it home. And when he brought it home, she baked, and it not only did it adjust to the hot and the cold, but it also baked evenly and had a more complete bake process to it, because of glass tends to maintain and hold the heat, and it delivers it in an even basis. So it made it a whole lot easier, and that was the birth of Pyrex Bakeware.
Reuben, what part of the plant are you in?
I'm a plant maintenance mechanic. I deal with the hydraulics and the maintenance of the facility.
I'll ask you this question first, and then Tom and Greg, you can answer too. I'll ask you this question first. So how have things changed there in the 30 years since you've worked in the plant? In terms of working conditions, in terms of automation, in terms of the number of people who work there?
Technology is changing, of course, but it has not had a lot of changes in our facility. We noticed we do have two presses now that are more up to date.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give too much information.
No.
Due to privacy matters or
nope.
The business.
Don't get us any trouble.
Right. So we're trying to remember how exactly I want to say this.
Well, I read somewhere that, like, during World War II, there were upwards of 1,500 people working there. I mean, I know that was the wartime, so things slipped down? Have number of people employed there gone up and down? Or
have changed. Uh-huh. We went through some hard times, through some changes throughout the course of the years. In 1984, middle factory was shut down.
Okay.
16, and that cut the workforce in half. We had about 1,000 or more employees at that time, and that shut down. And they later, around about 1987, 1988, opened up the Suprema facility. That lasted approximately 10 years, and then it died. But the Pyrex section of the facility has stayed strong. They told us that we wouldn't survive running for presses, but this is now 2015. We're running at full capacity, and there may be room for growth in the near future. They may have to give us another tank because Pyrex is selling. We're coming up with new products. Things are coming out well. We're even being sold across the ocean now.
Tom, how about you? What have you seen changed in terms of the workers or in terms of the plant? What sort of changes have happened?
It's a family-oriented atmosphere. I started when I was 19 years old, and basically it was Corning Glass Works at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it changed different corporation names over the years until now we're World Kitchen. And basically the membership has went down through the business, but now hopefully we can rebuild the membership back up again because of new products and the Pyrex sector of Snapware has really been a plus. And also the union has done some changing too. Years ago, it was United Glass and Ceramic Workers, Local 53. Then it went to Aluminum Brick and Glass Workers, Local 53. Now it was United Steelworkers of America, and now it's United Steelworkers. So we went through union transitions also. And like getting back to the family, like I said, when I got hired, you didn't know who there was a relative because there was a lot of family. It was real family-oriented. And hope to see that, get back to that someday.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the fact that you guys are in the Steelworkers Union. I know that the it doesn't mean as much as it did to be a steelworker versus a glass worker. I'm a writer, and yet I'm in the Auto Workers Union because that's one of the crafts that they are representing now is independent writers. So, yeah, but that was a process of mergers there?
Mergers, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the changes that have happened down there in the Charleroi-Manesson area, which, just like the rest of the Mon Valley, has had its ups and downs. We're talking glass this morning. We're particularly talking about the 100th anniversary of Pyrex. And you're listening to Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a production of Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. You know, we're looking for help in getting this show on the air and for help with other projects. If you're interested in the McKeesport area and you'd like to host a program or write articles for the website, call us at 412-614-9659 or email tubecitytiger@gmail.com.
And we're back here on Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com. Our guests this morning are all workers at the World Kitchen Factory down in Charleroi. They're members of United Steelworkers Local 53G. Down in Charleroi, if you're listening to this on Friday, on Saturday, May 16th, they are going to be celebrating the 100th anniversary of Pyrex in Charleroi, Pennsylvania, the hometown of Pyrex. It's the 100th anniversary, and beginning at 10 o'clock, you can go down there and see the world's largest measuring cup. There is also going to be a pancake breakfast to follow. Information at pyrexware.com. Greg, I was asking Tom and Ruben sort of what has changed there at the factory. I wanted to ask you, since you're a fourth-generation employee, who was the first member of your family to work there? Do you know?
My grandmother, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, and what did she do?
She worked in I wasn't around at the time, so I imagine she worked in a finishing somewhere.
Okay.
And that was during probably the 40s, and I also had uncles that worked there at that time also. It was during the wartime, so a lot of women worked down at Corning during wartime. They also ran the machines that made glass down at Corning at that time. So,
in finishing department, was she painting finish or was she polishing?
I think she was just a selector or packer or something like that.
Okay.
At that time, they were working people down there that weren't even of age to be working there, the people.
Because of the demand.
I also knew a friend of mine, his great-grandmother worked there when she was 13 years old. So it just goes to show you the time that she worked there when it was during Macbeth.
1893, I think, is where I read. It was Macbeth Glass Company, and they made lamp chimneys.
They made lamp chimneys, that's correct.
Okay, and then through a process of mergers, they became the Macbeth Evans Glass Company. They made bottles for a while, and then Corning Glass, I guess, purchased the Macbeth Evans Company during the 1930s.
Correct, yeah, that's right.
How have things changed since you've been there in terms of have the workers changed? Has the plant changed?
Well, the workers have changed because they're, well, see, I'm getting to be one of the older guys now.
That's funny how that happens, huh?
Yeah. And you know, when I started there, I was also 19 years old. And I was just right out of school. I was fresh out of school. I had no idea what was going on. And everybody at that time when I got hired down there dedicated themselves, it seemed like, the Corning Glass at that time, no matter what you did down there, how they worked and everything like that. And today, you're getting a generation today where, yeah, they care about their job, but not as much as they did back then. The times have changed. The people have changed.
People are maybe a little bit more concerned than they used to be. You know, you guys have each spent more than 30 years with the company, but I think someone who's 20 years old now maybe doesn't feel that they're going to be able to spend 30 years with the company.
I don't think it's that. I think it's, everybody has an idea today, like, factory work is no good.
Factory,
you know, everybody wants to be a lawyer or an attorney and all, you know, all that kind of stuff. And factory work, believe me, it made a pretty good living for all of us. If you keep a good product in your plant and you do a good job, you're going to keep that plant there.
I grew up in McKeesport, and one of the things that I was always proud of when you would go into the store, no matter where you went in the country, if you went into a Murphy store, you could see McKeesport, PA, made for G.C. Murphy Company in McKeesport, PA. Is it a little bit of pride to walk into Target or Walmart or Macy's, no matter where you go, and there's Pyrex, and it's made in Charleroi?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know it's made for Charleroi. But everybody else does it. When you walk in, you see that product sitting on that shelf, say, hey, I could have been one of the guys that made that right there. Because there's only so many of us in the country today making that. And as a matter of fact, the World Kitchen's the only one that does make that. So it had to be one of our guys that made that.
Did you grow up in Charleroi or Manassas, Greg?
I grew up in Charleroi, born and raised here.
How has Charleroi kind of changed over the years? I know all the towns in the valley have had their ups and downs. As I mentioned, I grew up in McKeesport. I lived in Mon City for a while. How has Charleroi changed?
Charleroi's changed a lot since the mills and everything went down. Everybody moved out of town, moving, looking for new work and new places. So you have the same conditions you have in McKeesport, basically. At the time, I think Charleroi had like 10,000 people in Charleroi, and everybody was working. You have an Essen mill which employed 3,000 people. You
yep.
had 2,000 up at Alaport. You had a Corning Glass that employed 1,200 people. Plus, you had Lee Norris and Lee Supply.
Yep.
We had a lot of people in this town. And you had a lot of businesses in this town. Well, when the mills left, everybody else left, and so did the businesses.
Let me ask you, Reuben and Tom, what does that plant mean to that Charleroi community in terms of the good jobs that it produces?
Very, very important. It not only produces jobs, good jobs and skilled jobs in the facility or in the community, but we are the second largest employer in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And the next, well, who's before us is Mon Valley Hospital,
huh.
More than us. But we also provide income because the resources that we use, the gas, the electricity, the water, all of these things, if we were to disappear, it would hurt the valley drastically.
Well, you have guys who drive transport trucks that bring raw materials in and then that ship products out. You have spin-off jobs from people who service the plant or do things with the workers, everything from lunch and breakfast and dinner to repairs to people's cars while they're at work. So, We're talking with workers at the World Kitchen plant down in Charleroi. It's the 100th anniversary of Pyrex, and on May 16th down in Charleroi at the corner of 5th and McCain, you can see the world's largest measuring cup, which I believe holds 3,000-some cups, standard cups. Begins at 10 o'clock with a pancake breakfast to follow. You can find out more information by going to pyrexware.com. Let me ask Tom, what would you say to someone who was maybe in high school or getting out of college or trade school and was looking for a job? What would you tell them if they wanted to apply down there at World Kitchen?
Well, I've already got the word out. I've already told people that, hey, you're looking for a job, you want to make a good, decent living, come on down to World Kitchen. I tell them to go down to a job service down in CareerLink down in Zenora, put an application in. I said, you start out at the bottom and you work yourself up and you can get yourself into a good paying job. And also, I said, the plant's, we're hopefully going to expand down the road. Hopefully, the product keeps growing. We make an awesome product. Like I said, we've been featured on several shows. We've been on Made in America. We've been on How It's Made. We've done the Food Network. If you go on YouTube, there's videos about Pyrex, our plant, that shows pictures of our plant making the glass. We've been on a lot of featured shows. And I had my 2 seconds of fame on Made in America with John Ratzenberger. That was a very good show. It was funny. He was in the melting control room, and he asked me, had a little camera inside the furnace, and he asked me if there was any devils in there. I told him, I hope not.
Is Greg on to something there that, like, people, you know, so much manufacturing has left now that people don't realize that this is a pathway to a career and a good life? I mean, have you encountered some of that people are, you know, they don't even think about in terms of, oh, I could go into manufacturing, I could have a skill?
That is true. There are a lot of people who have forgotten about manufacturing, and in this country, manufacturing is not as popular as it used to be, and a lot of companies have taken their products, their manufacturing, over the across the ocean, and have now realized their product is not as good as it was when it was made in America. So, and nor was it as cheap. Is it as cheap because of the shipping and so forth? So, manufacturing, I believe, is on its way back in the United States. But one thing we can say about the Pyrex, it never left the United States, and it's going to remain. And when it did leave the United States, it left the United States to be sold, but not to be made.
So it left as a finished product, as an export, but the jobs stayed there in Charleroi.
Also, the Asian market prefers American-made Pyrex.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
We'll end it there because we're just about out of time. Our guests this morning on Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com have been Reuben Brown. He is the current outgoing president of Local 53G in Charleroi of the United Steelworkers, Tom Seal, who is the incoming president, and Greg Spada, who is a fourth-generation employee of the plant there in Charleroi. May 16th, they are celebrating the 100th anniversary of Pyrex in the hometown of Pyrex, Charleroi, Pennsylvania, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. The world's largest measuring cup will be on display, and there will be a pancake breakfast and a celebration of all the men and women down there, more than 300 who make Pyrex in the United States and then send it from the Mon Valley all over the world. Guys, thank you so much, and congratulations to each of you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us. And if I may, I just want to say one thing. That acrylic measuring cup that's going to be brought in is going to travel throughout the country, and then it's going to make its home back here in Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
That part I didn't know. That is really cool, but don't try putting it into a giant oven because that's just not going to work real well. All right, that was a dumb remark. Thank you very much for listening, folks, to Radio 81 WEDO and TubeCityOnline.com, and so long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright 2015, Tube City Community Media, Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media, Incorporated, or WEDO Radio 810, Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at TubeCityOnline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.